Okay, hello everyone. Welcome back for part two in our Back to LL Basics series. Last week, we discussed the deeper meaning behind tshuva. What is tshuva and why do we do it? And this week, I want to look at a concept that I believe is even more fundamental, that every religion has some concept of prayer. And as Jews, prayer is so much a part of our, of course, everyday life, that we're always talking about prayer, we're thinking about prayer. Specifically, during this whole period of the pandemic, it's been a real intense focus, because one of the most shocking parts of the pandemic at the outset was shuls closing down. Then I think that's when we realized that this was getting very real. That you can hear about something on the news, you can hear, unfortunately, that people are dying. But once you hear that something that is so a part of your regular life is closed, that was shocking to people. So I think throughout this entire time, people have been talking about tefillah b'tzibur and how much they miss it, or how much they don't miss it. Why don't they miss it? Nobody wanted to be the person to admit that they hadn't been to shul for 3 months before the pandemic, because everybody was so busy complaining that shul was closed now. Unfortunately, tefillah became even more real when people were getting sick and the tehillim lists and the tefillah lists were getting longer and longer. And tefillah just became a real focus throughout this entire time. And I think on a positive note, at a certain point in the pandemic, when we realized we were going to be here for a very long time, and Amir Tzashem, it should end very soon, a lot of people turned to tefillah, and they turned to it as something that could comfort them, something that was there for them, even in these crazy times, and really viewed it as a new method of communication, a new way of tapping into their spirituality. So what I want to look at today is going into this period of the Elul Tishrei period, the Yamim Noraim, that are usually so heavy with tefillah opportunities. What is tefillah? And this year, when our tefillah may look very different, when it's stripped down to the bare bones, how do we connect to that tefillah? How do we take tefillah back to the basics and appreciate it for what it is at its core? So to begin to understand tefillah, we're going to look at the source of tefillah. In the Gemara in Brachot, it discusses how were tefillot established. It says, "Itmar Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina Amar, tefillot avot tiknum." The first opinion is that tefillah was created corresponding to the tefillah of the avot. That each of our avot, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, davened at some point in their lives. That it says that Avraham spoke to Hashem, or Yitzchak, lalachat lasuach basadeh, he went out to have a conversation in the field. Yaakov, again, it says he went out to daven. And that when the Chachamim wanted to establish tefillah, they thought back to each of these tefillot, and they created this concept of tefillah. Now, if we believe that tefillot avot tiknum, that the tefillah were corresponding to the avot, they're much more abstract. The concept of tefillah is something of conversation. It's something that goes way back to the beginning of time. And there's no set rules. Each one of the avot kind of went to speak to Hashem when they pleased. There was nothing strict about it. There's no set text if this is how we view tefillah. And there's no set time. So that's one opinion, that tefillot avot tiknum, that the origin of davening is very abstract, it's very conversational, and it's very spur of the moment. The second opinion is Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Amar, tefillot keneged tmidin tiknum, that the tefillot were created corresponding to the karbonot. That I think many people, if you ask them, why do we have tefillah? They would say, because we used to have karbanot. When we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, we needed some form of worship to replace that form of worship. And therefore, the Chachamim gave us tefillah. So tefillah keneged tamidin tiknum, that corresponding to each of the karbanot tamid that were given throughout the day, is when we daven. So if we're looking at tefillah in this way, then it becomes something very regimented, something very strict and very orderly. That the karbanot had specific rules of what must be brought at what time, what must be done with the leftovers, who was able to interact with it. Everything was very regimented. So if we're looking at tefillah in that sense, that it was keneged karbanot tiknum, then it's going to have a very different feel. It's going to be something very structured, something very regimented. So from the beginning of our discussion of tefillah, there is a compound aspect of tefillah, that there is no conclusion in the Gemara one way or the other, which one we believe led to the establishment of tefillah. Rather, an idea that I heard that comes from the introduction to the Koren Siddur. I heard this idea from Rabbi Yaakov Trum, alumni of the Kol, that it's a combination of both. That from the beginning, tefillah kind of had a dual identity. There is the regimented, orderly, kind of strict idea of tefillah, that tefillah is something that we must do at certain set times. But there's also this keneged avot tiknum. There is the abstract, there is the conversational, there is the more unclear version of tefillah that we can therefore put ourselves into. So just to keep in the back of our minds, from the beginning of aspects to tefillah, and there's many ways to look at tefillah. But where does our obligation in tefillah come from? We all know that in today's day and age, there are three set tefillah per day. Men are obligated three times a day. Women are obligated at least two times a day to daven. But where is our obligation based? How did we arrive at that obligation to daven? So it says in Sefer Devarim in Parakit Aleph, V'haya im shavo tishmu al mitzvotai asher anochi mitzava echem hayom. La'avat Hashem Elokeichem. The first commandment in this pasuk is that you should love Hashem your God. U'la'avdo b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem. And you should worship God with all of your heart and all of your soul. The Rambam and the Ramban are going to pick up on the second part of this pasuk. La'avdo b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem. The Rambam says, "Mitzvos ase lehipalel bechol yom shene'emar ve'avadatem et Hashem Elokeichem." The Rambam says that we have a mitzvos ase, a positive commandment to daven every single day, based on these words, "Ve'avadatem et Hashem Elokeichem." Mipi Hashmua lamdu she'avuda zohi tefillah. We have a mesorah; we are given over from God that avoda is tefillah. That what does it mean to serve God? Serving God is tefillah. Shene amar u'avdo b'chol levavchem. Amru chachamim, zohi avoda shebalev, zo tefillah. What is avoda balev? What is work that you serve God in your heart? How is it possible to serve God in your heart? The chachamim teach us that whenever it talks about avoda shebalev, serving God with your heart, that is referring to tefillah. Ve'in minyan ha'tfilot min ha'Torah. The number of tefillot is not mideoraita. We don't have an exact number of tefillot per day from the Torah. Ve'in mishuna ha'tfilah hazot min ha'Torah. Ve'in l'tfilah zman kavua min ha'Torah. The tefillah from the Torah is more abstract. There is no set time. There is no set number of tefillot. We just have a positive commandment to pray from the Torah. The Rambam continues and says, "V'lefichach nashim va'avadim chayavim b'tefillah l'fi shehi mitzvos aseh shelo zman grama." So he says, what is the practical ramification of this? That women and servants are obligated in tefillah because it is a positive commandment without a delineated time frame. Ela chiyuv mitzvah zo kachu sheyehei adam mitchanin u'mipalal b'chol yom. The Rambam now lays out steps and stages to tefillah. The first is that umagid shivcho shal hakadosh baruch hu. You have to start by praising God. Next step is you must call out to God with everything you need. And the final stage is you should thank God for everything he gave you and for everything that he will give you. So that's how the Rambam views tefillah. He says we have a mitzvah from the Torah to daven every single day. But this is a very abstract mitzvah. What does it include? It includes that every single day you should praise God, ask God for something, and thank God. That's it. We have shevach, praise, bakasha, asking God, and hodah, thanking God. That should be included in your prayer every single day. However, the Ramban disagrees. If we look into the Rambam, if you skip down five lines, says ve'ein haskama bazeh. There is, sorry, I see there's a question in the, I'll go back to the question after. Ve'ein haskama bazeh, the Ramban says, I do not agree with the Rambam. If you skip down a few more lines, Ela vadai kol inyan hatfila eino chova klal. The entire idea of tefillah is not at all an obligation. Aval humimidot chesed haborei. Rather, it was something given to us out of the goodness of Hashem's being. Aleinu sheshomea ve'una bechol koreinu alav. That Hashem says, I will listen to whoever calls out to me. Therefore, as a chesed, I provided an opportunity for those who would like to call out to me. The Rambam says, there is no set obligation every single day, as the Rambam says, to daven. Rather, there is an opportunity for anyone who would like to daven. However, if you skip down three more lines, Umasha Darshu B'Sifrei, U'la'avdo Zeh HaTalmud, the Amar Zot Tfila Esmachtahi, O Lomar Shemichlal Ha'avoda Shenel Mod Torah, Vishnepalelav, Be'it Hataru, Vitihiena Eininu Levaninu, Allah Huvado, Ke'inea Vadim Aliyar Adunehem. The Ramban says there is one time when there is an obligation to pray, and that is during an Eight Sarah. That during our time of need, we must turn to God. So which one do we think? Do we think that that every single day when we pray is we're taking advantage of a chesed that Hashem gave us? And only in times of trouble is that when we're actually obligated to pray? Or do we paskin like the Rambam, that every single day we have an obligation to say a certain formula to God? Rav Aaron Lichtenstein gave a drasha quoting from the Rav on this topic. He says, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of daily tefillah is midoraita. The Ramban, on the other hand, holds that the biblical source of prayer is limited to the obligation to pray in times of trouble. So again, that's the machloket that we have before us. Is tefillah midoraita that we have to pray every single day? Or is it a chesed and only a commandment during times of need? The Rav's daring comment on this debate ran as follows. The Rambam fundamentally agrees with the Ramban. Indeed, tefillah is obligatory only in times of trouble. But the Rambam perceives a man as existing in a perpetual state of crisis. Were it not for God, he could not exist for a single moment. And there can be no greater trouble imaginable than a person who is, heaven forfend, disconnected from God. Hence, we may deduce that the individual is in a constant state of crisis and needs God's contact and his mercy every single day. The Rav says something revolutionary. He says, there is no machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban. He says, the Rambam agrees with the Ramban that one is only actually obligated to pray during a time of need. But the Rambam believes that fundamentally, we are constantly in a state of crisis. Now, what does that mean? Was the Rambam a very paranoid person? No. What the Rambam is saying is that what constitutes a crisis? A crisis for a Jew is being disconnected from God. When the creation is disconnected from the Creator, that is a crisis. So the Rambam believes that if one does not connect to God through tefillah, they run the risk of completely disconnecting from their Creator. So each day they must reach out to God and ensure that that connection is there in order to continue on being. So the Rambam is saying, yes, Ramban, you're correct. We must only daven when there is a crisis. But every single day is a crisis if even for one moment we are disconnected from God. So at the very beginning of our discussion on tefillah, we already see our first crucial point, which is what is the essence of tefillah? Tefillah is our point of connection with God. It's not just a laundry list, coming before God, buttering him up with some compliments, laying out our laundry list before him, and then thanking him at the end just to be polite. Rather, tefillah is the opportunity to connect to God. It's the opportunity to grow closer to him. It's the opportunity to maintain our connection with our Creator, because as the Rav said, we could not exist for one moment if we were not connected to God. In Shemot Rabbah, it discusses Bnei Yisrael on the Yam Suf. The Kivan Sherut Yisrael Shehayu Mukfin Mishalosh Ruchot Hayasoger Hayam Soger VeHasoni Rodif VeHachayot Min Hamidbar. It says when the Jews arrived at the Yam Suf, they were petrified. They looked in front of them and they saw the Yam Suf. They saw the sea. They looked behind them and they saw their enemies chasing after them. They looked next to them and they saw the vast, empty desert filled with wild animals and other dangers. Talu einayhem ma'aviyem shavashamayim. They looked up at God, v'tzaku la'akadosh baruch hu. They called out to Hashem. Sheneimar v'tzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem. V'lama asa akadosh baruch hu lahem kach. Why did Hashem put them in this situation? Hashem knew he was taking them out of Egypt. He knew he was going to save them. He wasn't going to let them die at the Yam Suf. Why did he make them call out for it? Ella, Shehaya HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaveh l'tefilatam. The Midrash teaches us that God desires our tefillah, that God wants us to call out to him. Now, why is that? The Sefer Kad HaKemach, which was written by Bachya ben Asher, who lived from 1255 to 1340, the Kad HaKemach is a book of Musar. It describes how to live a moral life, and it discusses tefillah. And the Sefer Kad HaKemach says, Hashem Elokim Tzvakot Shama Tefilati Ha'azina Elokei Yaakov Sela. He quotes a pasuk from Tehillim where David HaMelech provides us with the words to ask God to listen to our tefillah. Pasuk zeh amru David alav shalom v'haya mitchanin l'hakadosh baruch hu sheyishma tefilato. David used to call out to Hashem and daven specifically that his tefillah should be heard. Why was that? Lefi shehatefillah yitkarev adam liboro. Because tefillah is the mechanism through which we grow closer to God. That it's not just an obligation that we check off every single day, that we must praise God and come before him. Rather, it is an opportunity. It is a time that God gives us. It is a pure chesed, as the Rambam said from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem says, I will listen to those who call out to me. So the Kad HaKemach is saying, David HaMelech teaches us that we must not only daven, but we must daven that our tefillah should be heard. Because it is through tefillah, it is through calling out to God that we connect to him. And that's why Hashem so greatly desired for the Jewish people to call out to him, not only at the Yom Suf, but at so many points in Jewish history. From the beginning of time, this was an opportunity that God gave us. This was a lesson that God was showing to us, that if we reach out and try to create that connection, our relationship with him will be so much stronger. In Bereishis Parakbet, we are in the middle of creation. It says, Eila toldo hashamayim v'haaretz v'hibar'am b'yom asa Hashem Elokim et aretz v'shamayim. So it's recapping all of the creations. V'kol siach hasadeh terem hiye ba'aretz, v'kol isav hasadeh terem yitzmach. Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim et al ha'aretz, v'adam im la'avorat ha'adama. So it says that Hashem had created the grasses and the plants and the trees, but they had not yet sprouted. Why was that? Because it says, because Hashem did not yet create rain. That on the third day of creation, Hashem created the potential for all of the plants, but they were not yet actualized. The plants did not yet sprout because there had not yet been rain, and there had not yet been a person created to work the land. However, if we skip down a few psukim, It says, "V'itzmach Hashem Elokim min ha'adama kol itz nechmad l'mar'ah tov v'achal v'itz chayim v'toch hagan v'itz hada'at tov v'ra." It's saying Hashem created all sorts of trees and the itz hada'at. V'nar yotzei me'eden l'hashkur et hagan u'misham yipareid v'haya l'arba rashim. However, then it says that Hashem created a nahar. He created a river, and it split into four heads. And it goes through to describe each of these four heads, where they go and what they are called. But the question is, the psukim just said that the plants had not yet sprouted because there was no rain yet. However, then it says that what had already been created was a river, and the river's job was to nourish the land. So what is supposed to water the plants, the river or the rain? And why had the plants not yet sprouted if the river was already there? So the Sforno answers this question and says, "V'nahar yotzei me'eden bilti tzar gishamim va'avodat adam." So the Sforno says, why was this nahar created? "Libilti tzar gishamim," so that we should not have to endure the pain of waiting for rain, the avudat adam. We shouldn't have to put in the hard work. What does this mean? Rav David L. Weinberg explains that if we look back at these psukim, it's true. God said that the plants did not yet sprout, but there is the river. And Sforno's teaching us that the river is the easy way out. That Hashem says to us, I'm giving you a river. On a basic level, you can be sustained by this river. This river will be there to water the plants. It will spread out throughout the world, and it will be there. I'm taking care of you. It's easy. It's safe. However, Hashem says that the plants had not actualized their potential. They had not yet sprouted because there was no rain. Rain is an opportunity. Davening for rain, connecting to Hashem by realizing that we have a lack in our lives if Hashem is not providing for us, that is a much higher level. That Hashem is saying to us, you can take the easy way out, you can rely on the river. But I'm also giving you an opportunity to call out to me, to recognize that I'm in your life every single day, that I want to provide for you. But you need to connect to me. Again, it connects back to the Rav on the Rambam. That if we are disconnected from Hashem for even a moment, we cannot exist. So Hashem is saying, rain is going to teach you that lesson. And we see so many times throughout Jewish history that this was true. That there are so many stories of Choni HaMa'agal and so many other cases when there was no rain. And the Jews took that as a sign that they had to reconnect to God. They couldn't just rely on the nahar. They noticed something was lacking in their lives. And they may have been able to subsist, but they were not existing and connecting to God at the highest possible level. That can only come when we open up the lines of communication with God, when we reach out to God, when we sit down and we daven. But that brings me to another question. This is beautiful, that davening is all about connecting to God and establishing that connection and maintaining it every day in our lives. But why should tefillah work? Hashem created us. He knows everything about us. We say in Rosh Hashanah davening that Hashem is Yodea Yitzer. He knows what's happening in our minds. He knows what we're thinking, what we're doing at every moment. Why should davening work? We're going to come before Hashem and say, Hashem, you know what? I really need parnasa. I really need to make a livelihood. And Hashem's going to say, I know. I'm the one who sent you all the challenges. I'm the one who put you in this situation. Don't you think that I know that you need a parnasa? And if Hashem intended to provide us with a parnasa, don't you think he would do so? He knows where to find us. So why does tefillah work? It doesn't make sense that we should come before Hashem, who knows everything, we should present what we need and then expect it to be fulfilled. Put aside even the question of what happens when our tefillot aren't fulfilled. But why should we ever expect that they will be fulfilled? Rav Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ikarim, which was his book written in the 1400s as a polemical work. He said, we need a textbook as Jews in order to provide polemics against the Christians. He writes on tefillah, and he explains our problem very in depth. He says, Im shenigzar me Hashem tov, ma'al ish ma'al lo nigzar. If God has determined to give a person something, then he will give it to them. If he has not, then he will not give it to them. Ve'im nezar in tzarech tefillah. If it's already been decreed, why do we need tefillah? Ve'im lo nezar, if tovel ha'tefillah l'shenot ratzon Hashem. And if he doesn't deserve it, what's tefillah going to do? It's going to change Hashem's mind? If I'm not worthy of something, why would Hashem give it to me just because I davened for it? And the Sefer Ikarim provides a beautiful answer. He says that tefillah is a transformative experience. That the Emma that entered into tefillah is not the same Emma that came out of that tefillah if tefillah is done right. That if you truly view tefillah as your opportunity to reconnect to your Creator, to strengthen your connection to God, to notice where you need God in your life, that changes a person. That when you undergo a true tefillah experience, you are a better person coming out of it than you were going in. So sometimes the person who enters into a tefillah isn't worthy of a good parnasa that year. But after coming out of a truly transformative tefillah experience, they are worthy. They're a person who's worthy of what they're asking for because they recognized that they need to reach out to God for it. They remembered that they are reliant on God, and they realized that they need that connection in their life, and they worked on that connection. And because of that, they're now worthy for what they asked for. So that's the first approach of the Sefer Ikarim. That why does tefillah work? Because tefillah is transformative. That the same person who goes into tefillah is not the same person that came out of it. And Rav Hirsch takes this one step further. Rav Hirsch says, Avoda, the service of God, it means to turn away from the ambitions, the occupations, and the sins which mainly constitute our material existence. Rav Hirsch says, when you come into tefillah, sometimes your priorities are off. You come into tefillah and you say, God, I really need that thing. I need this, I need that. And Rav Hirsch says, true avoda, true tefillah, is putting those things aside. It's taking all the preconceived ideas that we had when we entered into that tefillah, putting them to the side, and focusing on the tefillah. Looking into Shemona Esrei and saying, I came in here davening for a sports car. But the words of tefillah don't lend themselves to that. The words of tefillah bring me to ask for the geula. They bring me to ask for a basic parnasa, for the crops and the land to be successful. They bring me to ask for health for myself and for all the people of the world. They ask from me to realign my values, to say to myself, I came into my tefillah thinking one thing, but now I'm looking here, and I'm looking at the words that Chazal provided me with through which to connect to God. Do I care about those things? Are they a priority to me? Would I have come to daven to ask for those things? And Rav Hirsch says that process is so important to a Jewish person. That again, just like Rav Yosef Albo, Rav Hirsch is saying that through this value check of tefillah, we come out a changed person, that we may be more worthy of what we are asking for after the tefillah because we recognize what is truly important to ask for. So it's not, according to Rav Yosef Albo and Rav Hirsch, it's not that we come into tefillah asking for a sports car. And even though God said, I don't think that you deserve that this year, it's not that we come out worthy of a sports car. Either, according to Rav Yosef Albo, it is a transformative experience and we may be worthy of something at the end that we were not worthy of in the beginning. Or even further, according to Rav Hirsch, we may realize what we truly should be asking for. We will have checked our values and thought about if we are connecting to God properly through what we desire. So the two points that I think are integral to take away from all of this conversation on tefillah is that tefillah is the opportunity to connect to God. It's the opportunity to reach out to Hashem, to realize we are reliant on Hashem. And it is our opportunity to make sure that we are the Avdei Hashem that we want to be. We are serving God in the proper way, in the way that He wants us to connect to Him. How do we take this into our lives? How do we apply this to this year, to Elul, to Tishrei of 5781? And I think the key is remembering that these aspects of tefillah, this ability to build a relationship with God, this ability to reach out to God and acknowledge our reliance on Him, and to check ourselves, to work on ourselves through tefillah, to analyze our values, to reflect on our past actions and think about how we want to change coming out of that tefillah experience, these are things that will still be with us. We may not be sitting next to our friends and family in shul. We may not be in shul. How strange is a Rosh Hashanah not in shul? How strange is a Rosh Hashanah davening without all of the classic tunes, the tunes that mean so much to us? But it's a Rosh Hashanah davening nonetheless. We will have our words, we'll have the words of tefillah, and most importantly, we have ourselves and we have God. We have the ability, even if it's for 5 minutes with kids tugging on your clothes while you're sitting in your living room couch, thinking that this is definitely not the Rosh Hashanah I expected, we still have that opportunity, that chance from God to connect to Him, to sit down and say, Hashem, I'm going to get through 5 minutes of davening this year. Or even though I'm in shul, I've done everything I can, I'm still only going to have 2 hours of such an abbreviated davening, but the essence is still there. The core is still there. The ability to connect to God and to build our relationship with Him, both on realizing that He is there for us on His end and working on ourselves on our end, reflecting on our end, that opportunity is still there. The Rambam says in Mishneh Torah, what is the kavanah that we need to have when we're davening? Do we need to have intention and understanding of every single word? How's that possible? Even if you ask Israelis who are fluent in Hebrew, they don't understand the words of every single word of tefillah, especially the obscure piyutim of Rosh Hashanah. And the Rambam says, Kitzad hi ha-kavanah she-yifnat libo mikol machshavot v'yir'atzmo ki'ilu hu'omid lifnei hashchina. The Rambam says, what is kavanah? Kavanah is sitting down to daven, putting aside all of the other thoughts, and recognizing that you are before the creator of the world. And that's with us this year. We still have that, no matter where we go, no matter what situation we're in. Just to finish up with one story of Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, who happens to be my father's favorite Chassidish Rebbe. If anyone can have one, he has one, and it's Rav Levi Yitzchak. So I grew up hearing stories of Rav Levi Yitzchak. And Rav Levi Yitzchak was known to have an acute awareness of the emotions and the feelings of everyone in his congregation. He was known as the defendant of the Jewish people. He was always positive, and he was always willing to defend Jews before each other and before God. It said one Rosh Hashanah that Rav Levi Yitzchak was going to be the Baal Tokeya in Shul. And he went to the mikvah, he was preparing himself, he said all of the prakim of Tehillim, and he was preparing himself to get up and blow the shofar. He picked up his shofar, and he walked to the front of the shul. His congregation was trembling. They were ready. They had built up to this moment, this high point in the tefillah. And they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. And Rav Levi Yitzchak picks up his shofar, and he puts it down. Okay? You give him a minute. And he picks up his shofar again. And he puts it down. And he's waiting. They're waiting. Everyone's waiting. They don't know what they're waiting for, but they're waiting. A few moments pass, a few more moments pass, until a half hour has passed, and everyone's just waiting. And finally, Reb Levi Yitzchak gets up. He does not blow the shofar. He says to his congregation, "Holy people, there is one extremely holy man in the back of this shul." He says, "This man has no Jewish background, no Jewish education. He grew up in a completely secular family. But he came into shul today, and he sat down in the back of the shul. And how he knew this, I don't know, but with some Hasidic Rebbe stories, you just believe it. Reb Levi Yitzchak said, "This man sat down here today when we all pulled out our machzor and we were ready to say the complicated prayers to God. And this man turned to God and said, 'God, I don't know any tefillah. I don't know how to pray. But I know I want to pray. All I know, God, is the letters of the alphabet. So God, I'm going to recite the alphabet, and please God, please help me and string together these letters into tefillah. I don't know how, but I'm coming before you. I want to establish a relationship with you. Please take these letters that mean nothing in the way I'm presenting them. Please put them together for me and allow them to be tefillah before you. I want to connect to you." And Reb Levi Yitzchak said, "When I walked into this room, I sensed that God was busy. God was preoccupied, and I could not blow the shofar yet. God was preoccupied stringing together the letters of this man's most genuine tefillah." The lesson that Reb Levi Yitzchak is sending us off with into this Rosh Hashanah is that our tefillah may not have been as we imagined. Nobody intends to come into shul and read the alphabet. We may have wanted to be there for longer. We may want to be there at all. We may want to be singing and truly feeling the power of connection to the people around us. But what we will have is we have the opportunity. We still have tefillah as the present from the pure chesed of Hashem to us, an opportunity to connect to Hashem. So my bracha is that this year may we connect to the essence of tefillah, which is a gift to God to connect to him. And may we take advantage of that. Ksiva v'chasima tova. We will have the third part in our series next week discussing tzedakah. Thank you so much for coming tonight.